burped as I was.
This is exactly how my life is going right now. That is it perfect. Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't have even noticed. I thought it was like a technical glitch again. So
there you go. There you
don't
go.
Don't worry about it. So y'all, we've been having some bad connectivity issues. Oh my goodness. And I've been breaking a lot of wine glasses. I think, is it like clumsy? Is there like something in retrograde?
I think honestly, with how things are going for me, I think it's your being associated to me right now.
You're like, I think
I'm sending you the bad, like whatever the bad luck is that I'm having, I'm sending it to you. I'm sorry.
I know that there was like
Jupiter's... But that's blaming me. That's probably not true.
Yeah, no. I've been breaking glasses for a while. Okay. Well, anyway, we were just having a conversation. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go back into it right now. But you know, hopefully we're able to have better reception. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you, anything, well, not anything else, because this is a new episode.
Yeah, we just started it again.
So is there anything you would like to discuss, I guess, is a better question.
I was just saying I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finally admitting that. I think I've been a little bit in denial about it because I didn't want to necessarily be struggling, but mm-hmm. it is what it is. And it actually feels a lot better just to name it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where I needed to start from. I don't know. But yeah, what was I saying about it? Oh, just that I feel like isolated and mm-hmm. I've been trying to reach out, but I'm still feeling disconnected. Like I'm talking with friends, but we're somehow like not making plans. And I don't know if that's because I feel like being sort of in this negative Nancy space, in this Debbie Downer space. And so I'm maybe a little hesitant, but like even ways I've tried to reach out, like I mentioned, I reach out to like a couple Facebook groups about that I'm a part of. And I was like, hey, anybody local want to hang out? And like no one responded. And I was just like, ooh, like that feels kind of vulnerable to like put it out there with no response. I'm sure that's not personal.
Right.
I'm sure the post is getting buried because I didn't put a meme or a picture or whatever. And maybe mm-hmm. I just need to try again. And I also just feel like it's hard to share that I'm struggling because I think the narrative right now is you're supposed to be doing awesome because like the pandemic's over or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why I'm not doing well because it's actually not over for me. I have a dad who is incredibly susceptible to COVID. Like he would die if he got it. And so I'm really kind of like struggling there with what I can do and what I can't do. And it just doesn't seem sustainable, like not to continue to move forward if I want to have like any kind of social life. So I'm trying to figure out like what to do about that. So yeah. And the work stuff I mentioned last time, like there's just a lot going on. It's just a struggle.
Well, I mean, I think it's always interesting because like you will say something where you'll be like, I think everybody's feeling like they're supposed to be happy right now. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, that's not really the messaging that I'm getting. So I also think it's really interesting that like, I'm getting a lot of feedback from people and like even on social media, just memes being like, what am I going to be keeping from the pandemic? And it's just like people sitting at home by themselves. I think a lot of people.
I would love to get those messages. I don't know why I'm not getting any of them.
Frequency. Because like I'm getting lots of people who don't seem like they're ready for it. I've heard Anaja is in coaching classes right now. She's becoming a coach, and like she just wrote one of her first blogs about how she is feeling all of these feelings of angst about it because she's like feeling like she should go out, but she doesn't really feel comfortable going out, and she misses the time that she's spending at home. I think a lot more people are feeling the way that you feel than not. But I think that, like, it's all kind of where you're tuned into, and then you feel that pressure of, like, the messaging that you're specifically getting.
I'm getting so much messaging, even from people who were being more conservative, that they're just, like, out and about, and, like, clients and stuff. And, like, you just see all the stuff on Facebook, like, these big family reunions for Father's Day, where, like, I really don't have a lot of family support, and, like, the family I'm close to is all older than me. And so as I get older and I'm nearing middle age and I don't have a partner and I don't have my own family and I don't have a lot of other family support, it's just scary.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we all go through this at different stages. Like people probably go through this when they get older, I would imagine. Because, you know, they might lose a partner or they might not be close to their children or whatever. Maybe some people don't at all. I don't know. Or like they're losing people, but it's just like loss feels like it's all around me.
Mm-hmm.
Like even with clients, that's one of my specialties, right? So like I'm hearing their loss stories. So
yeah.
And then I have this juxtaposition of like other clients who are really like feeling good. And like, I have a friend who's just starting to feel good, but she had a really hard time during the pandemic, which I don't know that I experienced in the same way. I think all the comparisons were gone and it felt so good to not be comparing myself to anyone because we were all in the same place. And that was so nice, you know? And now it's just like raging back and it's really crippling for me. Yeah. So,
I mean, I
need to like start an Instagram just to like connect to the stuff you're talking about. That's what I was thinking about.
But also like, I wanted to say at the same time that like, I think that, and this might be wrong, but just what I'm thinking is, I don't think we were all ever in the same place during the pandemic. You and I felt very differently about it. But what I think happened is that like a lot of the ways that you feel, like how you feel most comfortable in certain situations where it's like, it's not the expectation that you're like going out and like doing all this stuff. And it was okay to put pause on like things like dating. And I think that that was like, I feel like you felt less judgment during the pandemic because everyone was doing what you feel comfortable doing. I don't think it was.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was like what you were doing.
Yeah. I'm not saying other people felt comfortable with it.
No. But I think that we were all like, not we were all, cause I think you and I were still in different spaces, but I think that sometimes even like me or like, if I would say like Laurel went to a workout class and we talked about like, oh my gosh, workout classes. And like, oh my gosh, like going to dinner, like all the things that kind of, I think, make you sometimes feel like an outsider. It became socially acceptable and admirable to have the characteristics that you have already had. And I think that right now there's
this, and now it's not anymore. So I still think
it is though. I still think that a lot of people picked up on the vibe that you have been putting down your whole life and they like it. I think you'll be surprised.
Well, the struggle is I don't know where those people are.
Yes.
I don't know how to meet those people.
Yeah.
I really don't. Fair. And I think that's always been like, and I just think as I'm getting older and more people are getting to the place of being more settled in their own like nuclear families, and I don't have that. And like, I don't know if I really want that or not. I almost feel like I'd be fine continuing on how I was in my 20s and 30s, but it's just like no one else is doing that. So I'm just like, where is everybody?
Right. Totally. I think that's fair. But I just hope that you're, you know, I think the longer you talk about it and the more open you are, like, you know, people will, you'll start meeting.
I hope so.
More people who are.
I'm sure. I'm, because when you asked me like what we had a conversation recently, we were like, you were like, what do you need? And I was like, I don't know. I do know, and that's what I need is people that I can relate to.
Sorry.
But I don't know like where to find, like, it just seems like those people don't like are really hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
So that's maybe why I said, I don't know, because I think I've been trying to find that and haven't found that.
Yeah.
I mean, or I maybe have had points where I have, but then I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that you're going to meet people who are literally exactly like that, but I always think that like,
well, just people I can relate to, I think.
Yeah. I think that I think there's a lot of people that I even know that I think you can relate to, but I think that like sometimes the roadblock is that I think one of the bigger pieces that feels most awkward to you is the partner situation. Cause like, everything that you just said about like loving how things were during the pandemic, not loving, I'm not going to say that. You didn't say that. But just being like, wow, this is actually great. Like those conversations are mirrors of what I talked to Katie about. Like literally, that's exactly how she felt. She hates people. Not that you do. But like she loves, like she loved the focus on like the focus inward. I think that's probably the best way to say it. And like I know, like I was just talking to Erin a couple of hours ago actually, and she was just like, oh, you know, online dating is so exhausting, like, you know, I just wish I could meet more people in real life. Like a lot of things that you say, I know people who say the exact same things, and I think you know them too, but I think that you all are just like puzzle pieces that fit, but
well,
just kind of, it looks
yeah I'm not
maybe.
Close friends with them like you are.
I mean, but you know, the opportunity is available.
Yeah, I don't know that I make friends as easily as you do, Iris.
I don't think I make friends very easily. I think I meet people very easily. I don't think I necessarily, sometimes I'm like, we've talked about this before too. If somebody says like, oh my goodness, like we're really close friends. Sometimes I'm surprised by that because I don't necessarily always consider people to be friends. I think it's hard for me to make friends.
Well, let me put it this way. I think you seem to communicate with a good amount of people on a regular basis.
That's true.
Which is not something that I do.
Now, is it like you don't feel like you have the opportunity or like you just don't really love that and don't really want to do that right now?
I'm not sure. I think I get overwhelmed sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I put off a vibe that I'm not as available as I'd like to seem, but I also feel like I'm the one always putting in the work. Like these friends that I mentioned that I reach out to and I'm communicating with, it feels like I have to do all the planning to mm-hmm. make hanging out with them happen, which is not what I want to do. Like, I feel like I've tried to throw out there, hey, I want to get like, let's hang out. And they're not initiating. And I really just need that right now with where I'm at, with how struggling I am. Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like I can't, that extra effort you is just not. Work. Yeah. So maybe I just need to wait until I can, because I can't. It reminds me of when I was a kid, honestly. This sounds, well, you know what? I'm not going to put a judgment on it. I'm just going to say it. But this is what it sounds like. I know. Mm-hmm. Is when I was a kid and I really struggled with being liked. And some of that was because I was bullied a lot and pretty badly at different points. And I really just didn't have trust in the friends I did have. And a lot of times I wouldn't even say I had friends. I maybe had acquaintances that were willing to allow me around, mm-hmm. but would we hang out outside of school? Would they call me? No, mm-hmm. like, you know, sometimes maybe my parents would like figure, or they would feel bad and they would invite me, but like, it wasn't deep friendships. Right. And so I was just very insecure about that, felt really unloved and unliked. And so I would literally sit and wait for them to come to me, which they wouldn't do because they weren't really my friends. And so then, but then I would end up sort of reenacting my worst fear, which is no one likes me, instead of trying to like, I don't even know what I needed to do. I mean, it would have been really hard where I yeah. was because of what I was going through, but I probably needed some therapy as a sure. kid.
Yeah.
And then I needed to like figure out how to like myself. And then be able to make friends with other people and like mm-hmm. do some initiating. But that's what it feels like, is I'm the kid sitting on the bleachers, like waiting for people to come to me that aren't coming to me because yeah. they don't know to come to me.
Right. Well, I mean, honestly, I've talked
or they don't want to.
Before. I think that, well, I think definitely sometimes people don't want to. I think that's totally yeah. fair. That happens. Everybody mm-hmm. is not for everyone.
Yeah.
But like, I think that what I've realized, and it's just like being in a different place where I'm like, am I willing to accept it or not? Some people are just not planners, and like they don't even notice that nothing is happening.
Like, no, I agree with you. And that's what I'm saying mm-hmm. is like, I totally get that. And I think some of what the problem is that because I'm struggling right now, that's just not okay. Like I don't think
it ever has to be okay. But I think that what you should realize is sometimes it's not a smite against you. It's just those people might not be your people. That's my point. Like some people, well, like,
and I think I've done a good job of that most of the time, but when yeah. I'm struggling, honestly, I am more likely to take it personally. Like that's just the reality. And it's going to take me time to get out of that. Am I going to come out on the other side and realize that's true? Yes. And maybe I'll try again. Yes. But like, that's just not like, I think I just need to be self-compassionate that like, it does feel personal right now, because mm-hmm. the more I'm trying to be like, no, it's not personal. It's not me. I think it's actually making it feel more personal because I'm kind of invalidating how it feels. Does that make yeah, sense?
Definitely. I think that's fair. I
yeah.
know.
Like some of it is, I just, like I said, I need to fall. I just need to allow myself to fall. Doesn't mean, like you said, I have to enjoy it, but I need to allow the fall, because the more I'm trying to get myself out of it, it's just not, what I'm doing is not working. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when you try things, like, it's just like, nope, like this is just literally where I am right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Like yeah. only you know what's going to work
Yeah.
Well,
but I totally hear what you're saying. Like, you're right. Not everybody's a planner. And to have the expectation of that is not realistic. Like, is it fair? Sure. It can be fair that that's the kind of friends I want to have. Does mm-hmm. that mean I'm always going to have those kind of friends in my life? No. Like, yeah. Sometimes it's just not, like, it takes time to find friends like that. And then it also takes work to maintain them. And that's mm-hmm. not always possible. So.
Yeah, totally. I think that that's the case. And I think you'll be able to, you have to do what is going to make you feel the most comfortable and the, like, however, whatever you need to do to make it healing for you. I think
yes, I did start meditating again. So that's really good because I think some of this is I'm not in a place of acceptance around things that are happening. Mm-hmm. So then I come from like this reactionary place that makes it worse. So I need to be a little bit more in a place of acceptance.
Yeah. I mean,
which honestly, I think the meditation will help.
For sure. I think you just have to do whatever it is that is going to make you feel better. I don't think there's anything that like any, I think that you've reached the point where you figured out what you need. And I don't think that like what you need is going to be what I would need or anyone else would need. So mm-hmm. really all we can do is just listen and let you know that we're here for you.
Yeah. And I think you were, to change the subject off of me, because we don't want to make this all about me. You were saying something happened at work or, oh no, you had like a late work meeting, which it was annoying.
Yeah. Just everybody at work is annoying. I mean, I don't really have much to talk about with that. Like okay. I've reached the actualization that everyone at work is annoying. There's nothing else. They just suck. That's all. Like they're just shitty. It's not a reflection on me.
No,
it's just how they are.
It's not.
And I have to decide if I want to work with them.
I mean, it's shitty to be in that situation though, but no, it's not you. By any means.
Like they just do business in a way that I do not. And I'm just like, all right, cool beans. Like, you know, that's okay. They have been thriving for many years and I'm sure they will be continuing to thrive and I'll just have to either get on board or get off.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, okay. This is actually a question episode. So do you want to read your question first or do you want me to read mine?
You know, I also came across another question too.
You can ask a random question if you want. I won't mind.
Well, you have seen it, but it wasn't, I think, the ones that you sent. But also, okay, wait. My question was the one that was from the Atlantic, right? I can mm-hmm. find that. I can save that other question.
But you
question.
Can also just do that question if you have it on board and we can save the Atlantic question.
No, I have it. I have the Atlantic question because it's really good. Okay. I agree with you. It's really good. Okay. Dear therapist, when I bring up anything serious, my boyfriend falls apart. I need to talk to him about our future, but he can't handle it. So that's like the title. Mm-hmm. So this is actually not from where we usually get questions from, but this is from a random Atlantic article I found. Okay, so we are doing a question. I was sharing the question is by this therapist who I really love. Her name's Laura Gottlieb. She had a book come out called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone That's Excellent. So it's titled, Dear Therapist, when I bring up anything serious, my boyfriend falls apart. I need to talk to him about our future, but he can't handle it. Excuse me. Wow. I'm like having lots of indigestion here. And this is from the Atlantic. She is like their therapist. She does like Dear Therapist questions, which I love.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it says every Monday she answers questions from readers. Okay. So, dear therapist, I have an ongoing issue with my partner of 7 years. If I ever bring up a serious topic, he won't just resist talking about it, but have something bordering on a panic attack before shutting down completely. He'll then need to detox for hours by being alone before he's good to talk about anything again, even minor things like what's for dinner. By serious things, I mean long-term financial planning, whether he wants kids, his plans related to school and career, what would happen if one of us dies, we aren't married. I've tried broaching these topics in a variety of ways, casually, sternly, trying to approach it like a negotiation. I've never actually given him an ultimatum, but I have told him that if he doesn't try to do something about his inability to talk about these bigger things, I'm going to be reduced to issuing an ultimatum eventually. No matter what I do, it always ends the same way. I am the primary breadwinner and we have enough money to pay the bills. I don't really want kids. So for the most part, we can get along fine without these topics being broached on a day-to-day basis. I mostly just try to avoid them, but inevitably something comes up that forces a point, or I can't stand it anymore and I need to talk to him. I feel like he has some issues with anxiety and needs to talk to a professional. You think? How can I convince him that he or we need to see somebody about this without that conversation itself producing a meltdown? Oh, yeah. What do you think, Iris?
Honestly,
what's that magical thing that she could say that not lead to him having a meltdown? There's got to be one, right?
Yeah, I think that he just probably just doesn't want to talk about it. I wonder if the panic attacks are fake.
No, I shouldn't say no. That you're right. That could be true. It could be an exaggeration. However, I tend to think that it's actually true because he's trying so hard not to talk about this stuff. If you just didn't want to talk about it, you don't have to fake a panic attack. You can just walk away or say no, or right, deflect and change the subject, or totally stonewall and stop talking. You know what I mean? There are easier ways to do it than panic attacks. Especially if I think this is a male. Mm. So it's not like a really that's a really vulnerable thing to have a panic attack as a male, I think.
I have no idea. I don't have any idea what she could say to him. I think she said she's tried everything. I know some people hate to have like impromptu talks. So
yeah,
I know it sounds like she's tried to approach it differently.
Yeah, she sounds like she has tried a lot of different things. So I'm obviously being sarcastic with you here, Iris, because I don't think she's in control of this. This is clear. She's not. And she's trying to be by the asking this question, like, is there something I could do? It's like, no, there isn't anything you could do. This is his thing. And you realize that. But the problem is coming to the place of realizing that you don't have any control is a really uncomfortable place to be, because then what the hell do you do being in a relationship with this person? You're left with very few options. One of which I think is radically accepting that you can never talk about anything serious with this person.
Oof.
Which I don't know how sustainable that feels.
Right.
Two, you do get to a place of some kind of an ultimatum. We need to go to therapy. You need to go to therapy. We need to separate. You know, if something doesn't change by X, you know, whatever. I mean, I think those are kind of the options. Or three, like you just end the relationship. You don't have to do an ultimatum.
Isn't gonna be
like
a thing.
Like, yeah, like I don't really want to get to the place of an ultimatum with you. And the fact that this has happened for so long, and the fact that I have almost gotten to an ultimatum and you haven't done anything,
gives
me enough information. And I just really don't have any trust that this is going to change. And it's not, you know,
yeah,
like it's that could be another.
I was going to say, it's such a good question. Like, it's just.
It is, because I don't think this is that uncommon.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, I'm feeling like that's something that happens with people. They just won't.
I mean, this is what happened with the last person I dated. And I think that I pushed them enough that they just stopped talking to me. Like, which was the ultimate, like, I can't talk about this. Was like, literally, I'm just going to ghost you. And it was like, okay, like. So thank you for answering my question. You can't talk. You can't deal with anything serious.
Exactly. Like, that's just not who you are. Nor
and he kind of did me a favor, because I could have been in the 7-year relationship, you know? Seriously, though, like I could totally like, and that's why, like, even though it was really hard, like in a way, I was really thankful that he gave me that out.
Right. A lot. He showed you who he was.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I would have really done that. And I don't want to try to make that this situation, because that would be judgmental to say, well, I wouldn't do what she did. Like, I don't know the situation here.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, it could have, I guess my point is it can, this stuff can go on for a while without us realizing it. Mm-hmm. And the longer it goes on, the harder it is to really stop it. Right. Because it's like, well, I've let it go on this long. So,
well,
like,
especially because she's like, I don't want to have kids. Like, she has a lot of reasons that if she wanted to, she could avoid talking about this.
Yeah, and I think I can relate to that with other relationships too, like having ambivalence about certain things. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, you just let everything sort of be ambivalent because it's like, well, we don't need to have labels. Yeah, like, and we don't need to.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. But then, like, at a certain point, is it always fine? And, like, 7 years is a long time. So,
yeah.
I really, you know, I've talked about this before, and I really am a believer in separations. Mm. And I know we had another episode a while ago, Iris, where you disagreed like about summer. That. Yeah. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, that this feels different, but I really like separations because I really think it gives a chance for distance to really like then the rubber meets the road of like, is this person really worth making change? And is it possible, even if this person is worth making change, for me to actually make change? Mm-hmm. So that's my, you know, if I was like a friend instead of a therapist, because as a therapist, I would do what I'm saying to you. And I would say, look, these are kind of your options. Or I don't even know that I go that far. I think I'd just be like, how sustainable is this for you? And then I might ask, like, isn't an option for you not to be in this relationship? Because if it's not, that's interesting that you really aren't making a choice here. You kind of feel that you have to be. And a lot of times, you know, in situations like this, the person feels like the other person needs them. Like, I bet she feels like he can't make it on his own because she's the breadwinner. Yep. She's kind of doing all the emotional work. So she feels this responsibility, which again, it's like, is that healthy? That you feel like you have to be in the relationship. That person needs you instead of wants you. Like, I might sort of ask questions, but if I was a friend, I think that's what I would suggest is like a separation. And then you'll see, like what is his reaction to that? I'd be curious.
I mean, I think that there's,
or a break or whatever, however you want to
phrase it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's no loss to her.
Yeah. To do but of that. Course he'd probably be like, cause this is what happened with my ex. I tried to do this with my ex and he's like, well, I have nowhere to go. Like, well, you do actually have places you can go. I don't have any place I can go, but whatever.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if she wants to, I don't know, like, it definitely something has to happen. And if,
yeah,
like, the best bet is the separation, then, you know, I don't really have anything else. I don't have any other suggestions just because, like, the person won't talk to you. You've tried to get them to talk to you and it's still just at an impasse. And that sucks.
It does. Do you want to hear her response, the therapist's response?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I don't remember. You read this whole thing, right? I just probably don't remember.
But nobody else does.
Yeah. Well, no, that's true. That's true. But let's see what the expert says, because she is really good. Dear Leslie, I can see why you're concerned about this pattern between you and your partner. Communication and negotiation are vital to any healthy relationship. So even more important than the specific serious topics you hope to talk about is the issue of why you're both struggling to have these discussions. Yes, so true. What your partner is doing is calling stonewalling, which I think I used earlier.
I think so.
It's a way of checking out of the conversation. A person might avoid a topic by being silent, changing the subject, ignoring his partner by scrolling through his phone instead of listening, or simply leaving the room. I loved how she used the he pronoun. I guess that does relate to the question, though. So essentially, stonewalling shuts down the conversation. But even though the problem seems to lie with the person who stonewalls, the other partner plays a role, too. After all, a conversation ends only if you let it end. It's not just how he responds to you bringing up these conversations. It's also how you respond to his refusal to have them. Here's an example commonly seen in couples therapy. A husband brings up a topic his wife doesn't want to discuss, and she begins to cry. He, in turn, feels bad for making her cry, immediately backs off the topic, and turns his attention instead to her tears. Now they both backed away from the original topic. He to avoid causing her more distress, she to avoid something she doesn't want to discuss. It's a manipulation, but one that both partners participate in. You're doing something similar with your partner. He gets anxious and leaves the room, and to avoid causing him more distress, you let the conversation drop. You're both afraid of something, he of the topic, you of upsetting him. So you collude in his avoidance by not bringing it up even after he's recovered. He may avoid these topics for a number of reasons. It may be that he's afraid he'll disappoint you by not being able to fulfill whatever expectations you have around money, kids, or jobs. and disappointing his partner feels intolerable to him. It could be that he's had the experience of being steamrolled during these kinds of conversations. Interrupted, argued with when he gives an answer his partner doesn't like, and the thought of being unable to make his point leaves him feeling anxious and out of control. It might be that he finds himself overwhelmed by the number of topics presented to him at once, or that he thinks the discussion of one topic will inevitably lead to another. It's often easier to hear, "Can we talk about money?" than "Can we talk about money," which also relates to kids, your school plans, and what happens if we die. Yeah, that's a lot. It could be that these conversations have gone badly in the past, maybe with you, maybe with someone else, and he figures, "I don't want that to happen again." Mm-hmm. It might be that he believes having these conversations will require him to be accountable, make changes he's not interested in, getting a better job, finishing school. He may suspect that discussing these topics will lead to a discussion about marriage, and he doesn't want to go there. You both likely come from families in which resolving marital conflict wasn't modeled well, and so your parents either never fought or fought in a way that felt frightening or destructive. In some families, too, when people say, "We need to talk," they really mean, "You need to listen while I complain about you." People who grow up in families like these tend to want to keep the peace in their relationships, but what they get instead is distance, loneliness, and resentment. So how can you approach your partner about going to see a therapist together to unravel this pattern between you? You'll need to respond differently to his retreat in the face of difficult topics by setting a boundary. Note that there's a difference between a boundary and an ultimatum. A boundary is about setting a limit for yourself. An ultimatum is about controlling someone else by insisting that they change. Hmm. You've already issued an ultimatum by telling him that if he doesn't change, you're going to give him an ultimatum. But that hasn't helped because A, ultimatums rarely work, and B, you've never followed through. Instead, a boundary is both kind and firm, meaning delivered with love and confidence rather than anger and wishy-washiness, and clearly states the limits you're settling for yourself. In this case, it might go something like, "I love you so much, and it is upsetting to see you get so anxious when I bring up certain topics, but I also want us to have an intimate and long-lasting relationship and a relationship in which we can't talk about basic life issues or even more difficult things won't be fulfilling for either of us. It won't allow us to be close to each other or feel truly safe with each other if so much is floating unsaid in the air between us. I can't be responsible for your anxiety. I don't create it, and I'm not here to fix it. That's up to you. But no matter what you do about it, I need us to get help with our communication in order for me to feel confident that we can be a happy couple, which is which I very much want for us." Mm-hmm. If he shuts down this conversation before you're able to finish, you can keep your boundary in one of two ways. First, you can set up an appointment with a couple's therapist and email him the time and place and write concisely in that same email that you attempted to explain when he panicked. He may find absorbing something he can read at his own pace easier than something you say to him in real time in a room together. In couples therapy, you both will experience a way of having these conversations that feels connecting rather than acrimonious, which in turn will make him less anxious about having them going forward. And if he says he won't go to the appointment or refuses to acknowledge your email, you can make an appointment for your own therapy, which will not only preserve your boundary of getting help with the communication problem, or at least your role in it, mm-hmm. but also help you learn how to set and maintain boundaries in your relationships, a lesson that sounds long overdue. Wow. Yeah,
great.
That's so
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. I like that. That's really good. She's
yeah.
So yeah.
I should have just read that and said all of that, made it sound like it came from me.
Well, that wouldn't be very Jamie.
no, it wouldn't be.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great advice. Hopefully this person was able to read it and do that, because I think that's great. I mean, I know that it is still the author doing a lot of the work, but, you know,
that's
sometimes
true.
You have to.
That's true. And I don't necessarily agree with her that we can always just set a boundary. I do think sometimes we do get to places of ultimatums because we don't have any other choice. Or I guess the alternative is just ending the relationship. But we get to a place where
I think everybody has to make
a hard decision.
Yeah. I think everybody has their own ending, right? Like some mm-hmm. people are like, you know, I'll do the ultimatum, and some people are like, you know, I'll set boundaries, and if you continue to cross them, right, because that's essentially what she's saying, is like, this is a boundary, and if you keep doing it, you're crossing it, mm-hmm. which I think if you flip the language that way, if you set a boundary and someone continues to cross your boundaries, you wouldn't want to be in a relationship with them anymore. So it's like,
yeah,
I guess it's kind of two ways to get to the same conclusion. Like, you can give the person the ultimatum, or you can say, like, here's my firm boundary, And if they continue to cross your boundary, then you would end the relationship anyway. So I guess it's like,
yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it's a little bit of semantics, but I get her point here because you don't want the person to feel that you're trying to control them.
Right.
I do think there are ways though that you can say like, so I guess it really depends on what your definition of an ultimatum and a boundary are. But like, to me, an ultimatum isn't just about controlling someone. It's about saying like, this is as far as I can go.
And I think that sounds more like a boundary though. It's not really an ultimatum because it's more, I think that's the thing.
Well,
an ultimatum is about the other person. That's my
well,
opinion.
But well, yeah, but I guess how I'm thinking about it is like, okay, like I need you to meet me. Like this is as far as I can go. And I need you to meet me if that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, then I don't know that I don't know what to,
I think that's like, because that's you.
Yeah.
You're saying, this is how far I can go. You're not telling the other person what they have to do. You're just saying, here's what I'm going
to
do.
I don't agree, though, because I'm saying I need you to meet me here. I can't go any farther, and I need you to meet me. And if you don't meet me, this isn't going to work. Like,
yeah. I mean, but to me, like, I think it's just how we see language. I don't see that as an ultimatum. I'm giving you credit because I think ultimatums are actually terrible. I, like, think that it's for me, I think that they are. Like, it doesn't matter if you think that, too.
I'm not saying they're not bad. I agree. However, I also hold that I think sometimes there's nothing – there's – like, here's a choice we have. Either not giving someone a chance, a last-ditch chance, or two, just they're surprised by a breakup.
Well, you're not surprised if I told you that this was my boundary. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, so that's where I disagree, because I think that it is also an ultimatum if you're saying this is what I need from you, and if I don't get what I need from you, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, that to me, that's not an ultimatum. An ultimatum is like, you need to propose to me or else we're going to leave. But you can say like, for me, my goal, my personal goal for my growth and how I see my life is that I would like to be married to someone who I love. And if that's not going to happen in this relationship, I need to move forward. That's about me.
Okay, but what? So if you give a timeline for that, does that change? Like, if I want to be married by the time I'm 35, and if that doesn't happen, like that means I want to be engaged by 33, and if that doesn't happen, that's not an ultimatum.
No, because like that's my personal life. Like that's the thing is like, I think an ultimatum is to do with you. Like I'm saying, Jamie, if you don't do this,
I mean, the implication though, if you're in a relationship, right?
Yeah, but can choose. See, but the ultimatum to me seems like a force. You can choose that you don't want to do my boundary. That's still my boundary. Like when we break up or if we stop talking, I still want to be married by the time I'm 35. I still want to be in a relationship with somebody who's willing to have a conversation with me rather than shut down and like lock themselves in a room. This is about me. These are my goals, my personal ambitions. These are things that I hold true to myself, and I'm not going to change them. Those are my boundaries. An ultimatum really feels like I'm saying it's like a you thing. It's like, you need to do this. You need to do it. No, it's like me. Mm. Like, and this would not, my boundary, I feel like an ultimatum can change. Like an ultimatum can be like, in this situation, this is this. My boundary is literally just like, it's me. Like, that's my boundary. Like, it's just for me. And that's why I like boundaries. Like, I love boundaries. It's like what you would, I would have the same expectation of you that I would of Anaja, that I would of Aaron, that I would of anyone who I was friends with. It doesn't, I wouldn't say to you, like, Jamie, you need to do this. I wouldn't hold you to that because I would only ask you to do something that I would want everyone to do because it's personal to me. But also, I think you and I think differently too. You are very thoughtful about other people. You think a lot about
sometimes too much.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but I do think.
Oh, I think in this work situation,
I just think
I have
think
been
a lot
too
about
considerate.
It. I mean, that's up to you to decide. But I think that you
it's true.
You focus a lot on like that, and for me, I'm kind of like, well, like. You're like, I'm kind of thinking of it as like, if you build it, they will come, which is probably why I build a lot of my own friendship groups. And then we get into the rhythm of being friends together. And if it doesn't work, then like, we're not friends anymore. But like, I think of it that way. And I think,
well, I definitely aspire to that, Iris, because I do think, I guess what I'm trying to say here, and I think that's some of what my struggle is right now, is that I am too focused on other people. Like I even said this to a friend of mine today that like I am noticing how incredibly sensitive I am to the outside environment. And it's really affecting my ability to be able to communicate, to be able to be in the world.
But I hope that you know, I feel like if you have to choose, the goal would be that you're able to be like, I can find a balance. But I do think if you have to choose, then you
I'm
should,
trying.
I think it's great for you to be the way that you are. You know, if you have to choose between giving a fuck about no one or like giving lots of fucks about people, I don't think that that's a bad thing. And sometimes it's hard to find a balance. Sometimes it's hard to be in the middle. I don't definitely have a middle. Like, I very much can be like, nope, this is not suiting me. Like, I don't want to do it. Like, I don't like to. I try to change, but it is difficult for me to get out of that. And I think you probably have, like, the opposite problem.
Yeah. Yes.
So we'll just mix it up. We'll just give a little bit of each other.
Yeah, can we? I know. Please, Iris.
But this was a good episode. I like am going to go back and listen to it actually right now. So
okay.
That way I'll know. I don't want us to record anything else. Like, not that everybody else needs to, but just so y'all know, I'm going to listen to this before I post it.
And then and before well, I mean, next, just if so you I do know. Have time, call me so we can talk about, well, yeah, problems. Listen to it first. And then if it's an issue, then we need to figure something else out. Yes. I think, cause this has happened enough where it's
several times.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to keep doing this to our listeners.
Or to myself.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to go listen to it right now, actually. Okay. Sorry. Have a really good day, everyone.
You too.
Thank you for listening. Okay, you too. Okay, bye.
Bye.